Yeah, if you. Wow. You have your Bibles tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. If you would pray for me tonight, it's one of those nights when I hadn't been this nervous to preach in a long time. I know the Lord will help me, but sometimes you just need to ask for a little prayer. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 10 and 11 is all I'll be reading this evening. These are well-known verses, and we'll just get right into it. It says, number 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Dear Lord, I just want to thank you, Father, for this evening. I want to thank you, Father, for your house and, Father, allowing us to come to it. Lord, I just pray, Father, tonight, Father, that you'd loose my lips. Lord, that you'd help me with a little bit of liberty. Lord, and that most importantly, that you would bless the reading of your word and it would not return unto you void. And Lord, we're going to thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. As I began studying for this night, I did not plan on preaching this text or these verses. I actually had a whole different text in the book of Genesis. And in fact, I think it's been preached, well, in a different way. It's been preached a couple of different times by both Pastor Roy and by Brother Brian recently. In Genesis chapter number 4, talking about Cain and Abel, there's a good picture in there of religion and true salvation. And I really wish that I could have preached that tonight. But the Lord has led me in a different path tonight. He's sent me to these verses and sent me to the armor of God. And my focus tonight is to talk about putting on the whole armor of God. It seems that this church is a haven of rest for people who are hurting. It seems that this church has been fought against by the wiles of the devil. And I'm not saying that it's the devil himself, because I feel like if we were truly experiencing that, we'd feel far more worse than what we have recently. But I do know that we've had some difficult times, some difficult situations recently, and we sure do need as much power, as much strength, and as much protection as we can possibly get. First, I want to talk about just the elements that are listed in the Bible that God gives us to protect us from the wiles of the devil. The first one is in verse number 14. It says, "Wherefore," I got the wrong verse, "stand therefore, having your loins gird about with truth." As I go through each one of these six pieces of armor, I don't have the armor, but I did want to show exactly what it is so that somebody who may not know what we're talking about can see what we're talking about. But I'm interested in two things. I'm interested in the trait or the attribute that God lists with this armor, and I'm interested in where this armor is placed on the body and how that relates to us. So if you'll give me just a few minutes, I'm going to try to explain that the best I can and as quickly as I can. First of all, it talks about having our loins girt about with truth. And if you'll look up here, I've placed the girdle that a Roman soldier would wear. Now, truth is the attribute that we're talking about. And truth is honesty, it's uprightness in their speech, it's being not just partially right, but it's saying everything that is fact and no fiction, not leaving out any elements, not lying by omission. It's telling 100% perfect truth. You know, I think about where it's positioned on the body, And if you can see a girdle, in nowadays a girdle is more undergarments than it is what it was to them back then. But a girdle is from about around the navel down to just above the knee. And it protected their private area. Now, I don't want to get into that very much, but I do want to say that in the deepest, in the darkest, in the most intimate and private parts of our lives, we should have truth all the way in there. You know, I know that even in the deepest, darkest parts of our heart, we have some things that we've lied to ourselves about. There are some times that people will, in their deepest, darkest parts of themselves, they've lied to their spouse about some things. They've lied to God about some things. But in the deepest, darkest parts of ourselves, God says that we should have truth and we should have honesty. You know, if you are a Christian tonight, if you have Jesus in you, then you already do have truth in the deepest, darkest parts of you. Did you know that he said in John chapter number 14, verse number 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you have Jesus in your heart, you have Jesus in the deepest parts of you. Secondly, the second thing that's listed also in verse number 14 is the breastplate of righteousness. The attribute of righteousness, it means purity of heart. It means purity in your life. It means walking in a way that's upright, both outwardly and inwardly. Doing the right thing at all times, no matter who's watching, no matter where it's at. And that righteousness is covering, if you look past the breastplate, if you look past the skin and the bones and the muscles, it's covering the most vital organs that you have on your body. It's covering your heart. Do you know what the Bible says about your heart? The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? And did you know that in Isaiah, it does also say that we are all as an unclean thing and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It's important for that righteousness to cover our heart because our heart, the thoughts and the intents of our heart are wicked continually and we need that righteousness covering us. It's also covering not only the heart, but it's covering the lungs. Now, I don't know if you know much Greek or Latin, and I'm not really into getting into a whole lot of that, but I do know one thing. If you have, I'm a nurse, so if you have an infection of the lung, what do you have? A pneumonia. Pneumonia. It's that the first part of that is pneum. If you look in your Bible and you look at the word spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is, if you look at the word spirit, that's the word for pneum. It's lung. It's the same thing as lung. So that the lungs are a picture of our spirit. You know, the two parts that it's covering, the heart and the spirit, we sure do need covered by some righteousness, especially in this hour. If we go a little bit further, we talk about In the next verse, in verse number 15, it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, what is the gospel? Well, Paul lays out the gospel for us very plainly in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, it says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That was the gospel that Christ laid out for us. It's the gospel of Christ. Now, the gospel is set on our feet. I find that interesting because our feet do need some protection, but there's not a whole lot of protection here. Those Roman soldiers back in those days, they did protect their feet. But they were wanting to be more elusive, more movable. They wanted to be able to move in difficult times. They wanted to be able to walk. They wanted to be able to run. They wanted to be able to jump. They wanted to be able to do the things that they needed to do in battle. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not made to stand still. It's not made to keep in our hearts. You know, it doesn't say it's not the breastplate of the gospel of peace. It's not supposed to go into our hearts and just stay there. It's supposed to go out into a lost and dying world. Jesus told us that we should go unto all the world and preach the gospel. You know, I find it funny that we do have, that's a pretty simple task for most people. I know that for very young people, very old people, or for some people who have certain disabilities, walking is a difficult thing. But for most of us, we learn to walk at about age 1, maybe 2, if you're a little late bloomer. And you can walk until you, mostly in your entire life, until you die. It's a simple task, but for some of us, it seems to be the hardest task is to take the gospel. We should be able to take that gospel to a lost and dying people. Next, which is one of my favorites, is the shield of faith. In verse number 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked." One of the reasons that this is one of my favorites, and I actually put two different shields. The one to the left is a shield for the actual Roman legionnaire. That was more of the Roman shield. And the one to the right was really a Greek shield. It was more of a Spartan shield. And that's part of the reason why it's one of my favorites. Did you know that a shield is supposed to be something that's used for defense? I think we all know that it's supposed to be used for defense. You know, that it protects your body. Well, that Spartan shield and even the Roman shield, it covered from about the neck or the bottom of the chin all the way to below the knees. And as you can see, the Roman shield is kind of a square color, or a square shape, and the Spartan shield is a circular shape. Well, the reason that I like the Spartan shape so much was because it was just as wide as it was tall. And they used to get in these lines, and when they got in these lines, they would stand shoulder to shoulder. And the Spartans they put so much emphasis just upon the shield that whenever somebody lost their shield or dropped their shield or lost their shield, they pretty much lost their manhood at the same time. They were pretty much considered null and void. They were worthless, and they could do nothing. So these men would stand shoulder to shoulder with their shields. They would stand in a line. They would march simultaneously up to the enemy. And as soon as the enemy would come at them, because the enemy would usually come and just all out run trying to bust through their shields, they would stand together as a force, and they would push the enemy back. And then once the enemy moved back for just a second, they'd move that shield out of the way, and they would have a short sword, and they would take it and take out the enemy, and then they'd put that shield back in the same place. So they not only used it for defense, but they used it for offense as well. And they took that shield, and when they used it for defense, they used it for offense, but protected not only them, but it protected the person to the right of them and the person to the left of them. You know, I don't really know how to explain the attribute of faith. I know that the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But the best description that I've heard is Tom Gillum saying, "It's stepping out on nothing, believing it'll hold you up." I don't know how to explain it, but I do know what it feels like. And my faith not only protects me from the wiles of the devil, but it also gives me a little bit of leeway that sometimes every once in a while I can get a jab in. And it also, in times and situations when other people are going through difficult times, it can help the person to the right of me and the person to the left of me. I'm so glad for the shield of faith. It says above all. You know, when our righteousness wavers, when our truth wavers, when we fail to give the gospel to somebody else, our faith hopefully will never waver. The Bible says it's above all. You need to have that shield of faith. Next, in verse number 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. Salvation is a term that means deliverance, it means preservation, and it means safety. You know, that the part that the salvation is supposed to cover, I find interesting that it's covering the head. It covers the brain. Inside your head is your brain. And, you know, I have heard some, and I'm not going to dispute or say it is or it isn't, but I've heard that some people call that your soul, because it's the place where that guides you. It's the place that determines what you do. But all I know is that the brain is the part that controls your breathing. It controls your thoughts. It controls your feelings. It controls the feeling that you actually feel on the tips of your fingers or wherever. It controls your entire body, your movements, your every part of you it controls. I find it interesting that salvation is the one that's supposed to cover that, because our mind is the thing that controls us. Yet sometimes we feel so feeble, and sometimes even when we are saved to the uttermost, there are so many people that I've seen that have struggled with their salvation. But I don't feel like God wants us to struggle with our salvation. He wants you to know that you're saved. I like the fact that the next one is the sword of the Spirit. I'm going to stay on the helmet of salvation because the next part is talking about the Word of God. But the helmet of salvation, every time you start doubting, think of Isaiah 1:18, where it says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Psalm 103:12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sin. Psalm 42:3, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. 1 John 3:2, beloved now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When you doubt, when we're in that place where you don't know, remember, there's a helmet of salvation. There's also the sword of the Spirit. Now, we know that the sword of the Spirit, and this is probably my shortest point, it is the Word of God. We know that the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We have a powerful, powerful sword. And you want to know something? I'm thankful for that sword because it was even inside the sword, Jesus shows us how to use the sword. Did you know that when he was tempted of the devil those 40 days, he was driven into the wilderness, not by the devil, but by the Spirit. And when he answered Jesus that first, or when he answered the devil that first question about aren't you hungry? This was after he had fasted for 40 days. He said, aren't you hungry? I can give you bread like you've never had it before. And Jesus answered, man shall not live by bread alone. He answered him by the word of God. He gives us the example that what we're supposed to do to rebuke any devil, any demon, and any person that should not or that should come against us is not by ourselves, not by our thoughts, not by our own actions, intentions, or goodness, but by the word of God. We should put on the whole armor of God. I love the armor of God, and I wish that had been preached appropriately. I don't think that you can truly preach it appropriately unless you take each individual thing, and you could preach one of those in a message. But I only have one message, so I'm going to try to do the best I can with just this. You know, there's something else that I want to teach. If you go to the next slide, you know that a Roman soldier, or any soldier for that matter, can't survive just with the armor. In a battle, it's good, it's needful. But physically speaking, there had to be more things that the Roman soldier carried. And I wondered how they carried those things. Well, if you look up here, this was some of the things that they had to carry. To the upper left part of it, there was a water skin. They actually had to carry a full day's worth of water with them on every day. The second thing is their pack, that leather pack that had housed in it some of the other things that are listed there, like their cooking utensils, their eating utensils, their personal effects. There may even have been a tear bottle or two in one of those. The next slide shows that they not only had those, but they had to carry some tools with them, because part of a Roman soldier's duty was sometimes you had to dig a trench to get away and protect yourself from the enemy. So they had to have a mattock, they had to have a shovel, they had to have a turf cutter at times. You know, they had to have different things for different areas. When they were going through thick weeds, they had a sickle and some things to kind of clear out stuff so that they could hike through. And I wondered how in the world, if they've got all that armor on them, because I know that armor gets heavy sometimes, and if they have to carry all those things, you know, they didn't have modern day camping bags. They didn't have a standard backpack. They didn't have any lightweight anything back those days. It was basically iron or nothing. I wondered how in the world did they carry all that? And then I found this. It's called a furca. The Roman soldier, as he was walking, as he was marching, as he was going to wherever he was going, he carried all that he needed on the cross. Everything that he needed, all the food to give him sustenance, all the water to make sure that he wasn't dehydrated, the things to remember his past victories with, the things that to remember his family back home with. Sometimes the shield got so heavy that he'd put the shield over top of the furca, not only to keep the water cold, but to help him to not have to carry so many different things. He carried it all on the cross. Whew. Jesus said unto them, if any man shall come after me, he shall deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I know that God didn't leave this out of this passage. I'm not trying to make anything better or to add anything to But that sure is a good picture. You know, I know that there may be some people here that don't know Jesus. But Jesus died on something that looked just like that for your sins and for my sins. I know there may be some people here that don't carry the armor of God the way that they need to. They may be have backslidden just a little bit, or we may just have gotten so burdened down with the weight of everything that's going on in our lives that they haven't been able to carry it effectively. But you know what? There's always a furka to lay your armor on. When your salvation's in question, you can take your helmet of salvation and lay it at the cross's feet and say, Lord, help me. When your righteousness isn't all that it should be, you can take it to the cross and lay it at its feet and say, Jesus, help me be more righteous. When you haven't been as truthful as you know you needed to be, you can come and you can take it to the old rugged cross and you can lay it right there at its feet and you can say, Jesus, help me tell the truth in all things. When your faith gets heavy, you know, in all the struggles that you have, sometimes the struggles of life gets heavy on you. And I'm not saying that people lose their faith, but I am saying that burdens are heavy. You know what I'm saying? Burdens are heavy. But there's always someone who went to the cross before you, that knows every burden that you bear, that knows every trial that you face, that knows everything that you're ever going to have to go through in life in the future. He's already been there. If you don't know him this evening, you know, this is a church that I know I haven't done a good job of it tonight, but we lay out Jesus to people. Jesus died for your sins, and we are all sinners. If you don't know him, I'm going to say this. Charles Spurgeon went to a lady, and the lady said, please pray for me. And he said, I cannot pray for you. And she was a bit taken back. This was just after one of his great messages. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified to his congregation. And she asked him to pray for her. And he said, I can't pray for you. I've laid it out right here. I've laid out Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's either you pray for yourself or I can't do a thing for you. I'm asking that if you don't know him tonight, you can know him. I'm asking that if you're having a hard time in life, if the burdens of this life are getting too heavy, we have a cross. We have an altar where you can come directly to his feet and you can bring those cares to him. Miss Brenda, could you come and play Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross? Everybody would stand. Pastor, you come. Thank you.
Miss Brenda, keep playing if you don't mind. We heard so beautifully tonight. How can we be a good soldier, a faithful soldier, without putting on the whole armor of God? Paul was encouraging Timothy. He told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I'm thankful for the message. I'm thankful that we can be found faithful if we're only obedient to put on this whole armor of God. Father, we want to thank you for the message tonight. We want to thank you, Lord. We can call upon your name. Lord, no doubt we're found wanting so many times. Father, we haven't put on that helmet of salvation, the breastplate of light, righteousness, that girdle of truth. Or, Father, we're not faithful in spreading and propagating and promoting the gospel of Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a burden. Father, let us be found faithful. Let us be found true in this army. And Father, I pray as Brother Justin preached on Wednesday night, we could stand, we could be alive, and be an exceedingly great army for you. Lord, Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for this good day in the Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, there's still many hurting. Father, I pray that you'd help this church. And Father, I pray that bereavement of these families that are going through the dark valley they've been walking, Lord, that you'd help them. Father, you'd lift that burden, Father, and let us know we can take up our cross and follow you when things are going wrong, things are going tough. You're still on the throne. Father, let us be found faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Miss Brenda keeps playing.
Ten years ago today, September the 1st was on a Tuesday, and I had surgery that day for breast cancer. And when I was diagnosed in February, I asked the Lord if he'd please let me live 3 years so I could see my son graduate from high school. And I just want to praise God today. He not only gave me that 3 years, hey. He gave me 10 years.
Hey.
But more important than him healing me, he gave me a joy in my soul that I never had before.
Yes.
And I just want to praise him tonight.
Thank you, sister.
Amen. Anyone else? Let's pray for Miss Linda Lance. I believe this week's going to start her radiation. Let's pray for her. Miss Melton. Let's remember Miss Greer. That's right. She broke her hip. Let's remember her. Amen. 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 Yes, come on.
Of our life is a gift from God. We're going to have to stand before God as account, be accountable of what we've done with our life. We can be one way at church. How are we on our jobs? How are we at home behind closed doors? I always told my husband I didn't want to hear a Sunday school teacher or a minister didn't treat his family good and speak nicely to him. Words are things we can't take back. I pray that God will help me as I lead our church and the Christmas programs. I know we've only done one through the years, but the Lord woke me up between 2 and 3 o'clock one morning and said he wanted me to do one for the children, the teens, and one of the kids. I desire your prayers. And for the adult, the big program, Brother Jason, there is a section in there. It's the gentleman is going to be in the Army scene. I have contacted a lot of the military to bring in. There's a lot y'all don't know about, Rita. And I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. But for 10 years, I helped train for the military bands. It started in my music school through my students, and then it spread. And we need to reach out and get out of the box and reach souls for the Lord. And I have a saying that my grandfather, that was a minister, told me years ago, there is so much can be done for God when you don't worry about who gets the credit for it. It all belongs to him. As we work together, we got to work together to get these programs out for the Lord and bring the souls in. We're going to make CDs of the script for both programs and let the people in the homes listen to them, especially the Wanna Children families. We're asking the Lord for a lot of eternal souls to come to him. In his name, I love y'all. Please pray for us. Let's work together as a team and not pull and try to separate. God's not pleased with that. I love y'all with all my heart.
Amen. Anyone else?
You know, both these messages today has been a blessing to my heart, both of them. I never had heard one about the tear bottle. Never heard about carrying the armor like that, but that blessed my heart, and I thank you for you guys preaching that word. Father, we love you, and we thank you for this day. God, there's nothing good within ourselves, but we can put our trust in you. God, you'd said you'd never leave us, you'd never forsake us. And I thank you for that. And I pray that I'll depend on you more than I ever have and trust that you will help us step out on faith and do those things that you'll be pleased with. Thank you for these messages we've heard today. God, I pray that it's been a seed that's planted in somebody's heart. God, it needs help. God, they may need a spiritual uplift. They also may need salvation, and I pray, God, if it's your will, God, that you'll touch those that need faith, I know it's your will to save the lost, and I pray, God, that they'll come to you. Thank you again for this day. Thank you for the many blessings you're going to give us, and thank you for watching over us, and I pray that you'll protect each one that's gathered here tonight, give them a safe journey home, and I pray most of all that you'll get honor and praise out of everything that's done here today. In Jesus' name. Amen.